A very good morning to you, my dear listener, wherever you are listening us from in this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful land of the brave. Well, thank you for tuning in. And it's always a pleasure to be in your company. And today is no exceptions. And thanks for tuning in Unpacking the Day. So this is a show that where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. So this show is about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we're here to make sense of it all together. So, but it is not just about us talking, it's about you. Share your thoughts, opinions, and perspective on the topic that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So welcome back. I mean, welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Mike Oshoveli. And I will be with you until the hour of 9:30. Today is the 8th of May. Today is the 8th of May. And let's see what happened on this day in Africa. So on the 8th of May, 1996, South Africa's Constitution Assembly adopted a new constitution, making a significant step in the nation's transition from apartheid to democracy. So this constitution guaranteed equal rights for all citizens, regardless of race, and laid the foundation for democratic society. And on the 8th of May 2020, Lesotho's Prime Minister, Thomas Thabane, announced his intention to resign amid political pressure and allegations related to the murder of his estranged wife. So his resignation marked a pivotal moment in the country's political landscape. So that's all what we have today on this day, what happened on this day in Africa. So and Thursday, the thought of the day, our thought of the day on unpacking the day today, a fool and his money are soon parted. A fool and his money are soon parted. So the proverb means that a person who lacks wisdom, judgment, or financial discipline will quickly lose their wealth. So it highlights how careless or naive decision can lead to financial loss, whether through overspending, falling for scams, or making poor investment. So it emphasized the value of being prudent and knowledgeable in financial matters. So it is a reminder to think carefully before making decision, especially when managing resources. So yeah, our thought of the day today, a fool and his money are soon parted. So hopefully you are not falling in that category. So welcome if you just joining us. This is Eagle FM and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. So when we come back, so we get into our first item on the show. Stay tuned.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. here to unite the nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are The Elsi Nehangano, Rio Sherero o Maimburiro, The Catholic Simaneka Karunga, The Africans Sing for Dira, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-235-8063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna iimatina omjo. Chikao shafata na nana nongeshefa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya wo. Ota ingongo titamweni. Anageshefa ya Namibia. Ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randitoma iwe. Yongeshefa yoyo kupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende timeneha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomoe programa letu. Moambo lengira selma. Onarahe tatuimu. Ndatu ndatu heari hamano tano. Ondi yaaji. Eagle FM. So hai.
Well, a very good morning to you. And if you just joining us, you're tuning to Unpacking the Day. So I've been trying to get to my guest. I would ask for your patience. Just stay tuned for a few seconds to see if I can get to him again. So just for a few seconds, and I'm trying to get to him so that we can discuss what we prepared for this morning. So just stay tuned. I'm gonna quickly try again to see if I can get hold of him. Just hold on.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna iimatina omjo. Chikao shafata na nana nongeshefa ya ishiwike moshiwana.
You're welcome back, and thanks for joining us. Welcome to Unpacking the Day, where we challenge the norms and explore solutions for Namibia's development. Over the years, our nation has outlined bold plans. Vision 2030s and the National Development Plans, the NDPs. This is to guide us towards industrialization and prosperity. Yet, administration changes, as administration changes, so too do policies and priorities and approaches. So it raises a critical question. Are this frequent shift in policy or priorities, often influenced by short-term political pressure, undermining the very progress we seek to achieve? So as you listen, think about the plans you have seen coming and, you know, come and going. So what worked, what didn't, and why? So could consistency be the missing ingredient in our national recipe for success? To help us unpack this pressing issue, we are joined by Dr. Omu Kakuyaha Matu, an economist and our regular guest on the show. Good morning, Dr. Matu, and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mike. It's, you can call me Omu, Omu Kakuyaha Matundu.
Matundu, yeah.
Today you had forgotten the
Yeah.
Yes, good morning, Mike, and good
morning to everyone. I'm sorry for that, yeah.
Mm. Not to worry at all.
Yeah. So, no, welcome. So, now, the one thing I want to discuss is this whole question of policy consistency. So, and looking at when new administration come into power, there seem to be always a change or a shift in policy or priority, if I can put it that way. So I can give an example that when Hage Geingob came into power, there has been an emphasis on Harambe prosperity plan. We have one and two. And then now what we see with a new president, there's an emphasis on SWAPO manifesto implementation plan. So how do changes in administration lead to shift in political priorities? And what impact does this have on a long-term project that the country have?
Yes, Mike, you are quite right that since independence, I mean, we started with a grand vision, that is Vision 2030.
Yeah.
And then, of course, with our five NDPs, and then Harambe 1 and Harambe 2, and now the implementation plan, as you have correctly pointed out.
Yeah.
But to me, the way my take on all that is that, look, this is a learning curve for government and the SWAPO government.
Mm.
What you have the grand vision, but then what you wanted is to have something implementable.
Yeah.
That is a vision. Now you have to have plans.
Yeah.
Now, why I'm saying it is a learning curve. We started with NDP 1, which was a document of something like 360 pages.
Yeah.
And as we, if we take just that NDP 1, when we say we, I mean government.
Yeah. Mm.
Implemented many of those plans. When you look at the population census, the creation of the statistical bureau then, that is now the National Statistics Agency now.
Yeah.
If you look at labor surveys, if you look at the agricultural sector and the projects that has been maintained and sustained. So, but what we have seen is that if you have such a huge document, it is difficult for you to go through it all and have real targets that you have all the sectors in the economy.
Yeah.
Now you said, let's bring it down. When you come to, let's say, NDP 5, what you'll see is that this is a leaner document with fewer objectives, fewer pillars.
Mm, mm.
Yeah. And when you look at those pillars, NDP 5, and you look at Harambe 1, and is an acceleration of that implementation plan.
Yeah.
Now with it, you'll have still almost the same kind of pillars.
Yeah.
But here you are going to say what are the projects that are that can create jobs, that can lead to social progression, that can lead to economic advancement.
Mm.
So is Harambe 2. And the good thing about Harambe 1 and 2, let me hasten to say that when President Hage introduced this term, Harambe,
yeah,
which means pulling in the same direction,
yeah,
was just a call to the different ministries, and I mean like ministries, to say that let's do this thing together, mm-hmm, all of us pulling in the same direction, also involving the private sector, so that we can not have that pulling in different directions,
yeah,
but pulling the cart in the same direction so that we can accelerate NDP5.
Yeah.
And it has clear, you have your pillars, you have the targets under that, and you have also reporting periods.
Mm-hmm.
So if everything was going well, it was to report quarterly.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a great idea. So is it worth Harambe 2? What I was saying is that when Hage introduced this, I said Hage is either bad luck,
yeah,
or he didn't peep deep into the state coffers,
yeah,
and also COVID stuck. You remember the other one, I think Harambe 1 was to end,
mm,
5 years, ending 20.
Yeah.
And then Harambe 2, 21 through 25.
Yeah.
And what happened then was all your shutdowns, or what did we call that thing during COVID? Let me call it a shutdown.
Yeah, yeah, it was a lockdown. It's a lockdown.
A lockdown.
Mm.
So the economy suffered terribly,
yeah,
but there are a couple of things, low-hanging fruits that they have basically started, like your Welvisia Fund. You look at our entry into Botswana, or the Botswana coming here without visas, etc.
Mm.
So that is why I called it a learning curve.
Yeah.
Is to say, okay, here we are having a good plan, but how to create more focus rather than spreading yourself all over the place.
Yeah.
So I think it is not, I don't see much confusion, but like implementers, your EDs and everyone, and also the planners on the ground, mm, to see what are we expected to do. Let's come to the last.
Yeah, you.
And the SWAPO implementation plan.
Yeah.
If I understand it correctly, everything since Vision 2030 up to now, that is the SWAPO vision and dream to take this nation to somewhere.
Mm.
And that is through all those plans.
Yeah.
Now, when we come here, the emphasis is on is to say that, look, we are going to make it clear to everyone,
mm,
that SWAPO is having the programs that started since day one, NDP one up to now.
Yeah.
And this one, if you look at it, it is not digressing from the other plans that I've mentioned.
Yeah.
But it is more of even crystallizing that,
mm,
bringing out the priority sectors, bringing out the enablers. What can we do? And the one thing that the implementation plan is trying to do is to put numbers in terms of money,
mm,
to the different projects. But then again, before I go back and say, why are all these things, why is the president the main man or woman in this whole thing?
Yeah.
Is that, again, we are bad luck. When we are saying we, I mean the Namibian government and,
yeah,
the SWAPO government. Here comes Trump with his, because what we were thinking was that we are going to get good money, we are going to do big things, and God blessed us with good rains. Everything was going to okay. While we are saying that, here comes Trump, and he is going to trump our economy in terms of low global economic growth, which will impact our economy, which will could impact the SACU receipts, which could impact the SWAPO implementation plan, because on that, we have put money, we have put clear targets, we know where we are going and what we want to achieve. Now, the National Planning Commission is a commission, it's not a ministry, and that falls directly under the office of the president. That is why the president is the one who is spearheading, or like when you look at President Netumbo now, or Nandi Ndaitwah, you'll see that she's the one who's every time talking to the SWAPO manifesto as well as the implementation plan. So let me stop there, Mike, so that you can maybe...
Yeah, no, just to highlight certain things you probably mentioned that, well, they are not really diverting from the development goal of the country. Just that there is a shift in emphasis, I think, when it comes. Now, how far does it go really? This plan, now what the, one thing that we see as citizens when under President late Gengob, you know, we're talking about Harambe, that has been the emphasis. And what we also see, it's also looking at by then the whole emphasis, the administration. I can take one particular example. We're more on green hydrogen, for example. So that was kind of a priority and one area that, you know, we wanted to put, you know, to put effort and investment should go into that. And, seeing from now, when I look at now the new administration, the emphasis is now on oil and gas. I'm not saying they are not, you know, they are not, they won't be involved in green hydrogen, but the emphasis you can see that have shifted already, has shifted somehow, you know. So I don't know whether it's in terms of policy or in terms of priority. So the priority has shifted. So that's where now I start to, you know, maybe other people also start to think, doesn't that contribute to the lack of maybe consistent, would that not contribute to lack of consistency in terms of continuity of priorities within the government?
Thank you so much, Mike. I won't call it a shift in policy or in priorities when it comes to national planning.
Yeah.
As I have said, it is just to either accelerate or to sharpen the focus so that the plan can really be implementable.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to the two pies in the sky,
Doctor, let me say the previous administration wanted to invest more, maybe let's say in green hydrogen, and then now a new administration. I don't know what's going to happen. It's still new. We don't understand that. We still actually see what the government is doing. And let's say, for example, it move a little bit from there to oil and gas. Hasn't that then derail all the effort that has put in terms of green hydrogen? And now that we're focusing on oil and gas, I'm not saying it shouldn't be, but I'm just said there is a shift in terms of priority.
No, you are right.
Yeah.
Mike, look, it is still talking to the same thing, that is social progression, economic advancement, etc. Trying to take our people out of deep poverty, hunger, and inequality, etc. Now, what you are saying is that you have to have enablers.
Yeah.
You have to have something that you have to sell, get good money,
yeah,
so that you can start projects or within those, let's take green hydrogen, for instance.
Mm.
What you want is to create all those projects downstream, upstream, in the Lutrecht or Karas area,
yeah,
so that you can employ more people, so that your people can earn decent living out of green hydrogen.
Yeah.
Now, that is not a priority area per se. That is just an enabler in the energy sector that you have identified.
Mm-hmm.
It is an economic opportunity that will do what you want to do as a party in government.
Yeah.
Now, why I'm calling it a pie in the sky, when we started hearing this green hydrogen, I don't support green hydrogen fully, because what I was always asking is, if peace return to the East, that is Ukraine and Russia,
yeah,
and Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 come on board, and the Germans start buying that gas,
yeah,
will they still import gas thousands of miles from Namibia?
Hmm.
Either we won't be able to build a pipeline and we have to ship it by whatever ships, and this thing is not going to be the safest route or route.
Hmm.
to do that. So and you go to the Germans, they give hyphen grants and they give you loans.
Yeah.
That was not a grant idea. And now what we see again, you remember the 2050 target that the West set itself for a carbon-free world, if I may call it that way.
Yeah.
They have now reversed that decision and reneged on that. They have seen that won't work. Carbon fuels will still be the dominant type of energy. They are going back to carbons. Now, what we have seen again, during President Netumbo, what is, I think they are thinking up along the same lines.
Yeah.
That, well, we won't abandon green hydrogen, but it is no more as, lucrative, but a good idea or opportunity as it was then.
Yeah.
So now oil and gas seems to be the thing still for something like 50, 60 years to come.
Yeah.
And if it was true, and now me, I'm starting to doubt whether we have struck oil. I don't think we have struck oil yet.
Mm-hmm.
But should we, as the new thinking is, that we are going, or we have struck oil and gas,
yeah,
that is where the opportunity is. And that is why President Nandi Daitwa's administration is saying, let's now put more emphasis there. It's just an economic opportunity.
Yeah.
It's not a shifting in priority.
Yeah. It looks like that, okay, part of a priority that we focus on depend also dictated or is also being dictated by the geopolitical and also the global market. So would that not be really dangerous in terms of how then we plan, you know, how we then develop create our development goal for this country? Would it be always now that, okay, by the time, let's say, for example, the time of Dr. Hage Geingob, you know, then we felt that, you know, green hydrogen was now an area that we needed to invest and also, you know, make that as a priority. But then now, given where we are, we have to change that.
Mike, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
What you are asking is that are we at the mercy of the global economy, if I may call them developments? If the world is strained, or if the world, so the Western world swung this way, then we go that way.
We swing that way,
Yes. No, you are right in that way, but we are a very small economy. We don't have all the money that we could spend as government to do what we want to do. We have to sell resources that we have to do that. And those resources, unfortunately, we cannot sell them locally, nor to our immediate neighbors and the like. But the question that you are asking is, I would try it this way. Yeah. Look, what can we do with our own small money to achieve something?
Yeah.
That comes to how can we implement projects without relying too much on what we can get from outside. The little money that we collect from our taxes, the little money that we get from royalties, and those small money from the mining companies, etc. How can we utilize those funds? What one could say is that, what are the projects that can make a difference, but without relying too much on external funds? External funds, I don't mean grants or aid from somewhere, but I mean from our exports. There are things that we can call low-hanging fruits.
Yeah.
What can we run our agricultural sector successfully, employing so many people? I'm now thinking about the green scheme.
Yeah.
What happened to our green schemes? Was it because we don't have money, or was it because we don't have skills to implement those programs?
Yeah.
Or was it because there was no crime and punishment for those ones? Here I'm thinking about accountability and the culture of consequence.
Yeah.
For those ones who are not doing their job, why are they not? Why? And Mike, here one can say, what holds Namibia back? Why we have all these good plans? Mike, let me also hasten to say, from all this hard work in drafting all the development plans, the Harambe 1-2, the SWAPO Manifesto, and the SWAPO Manifesto Implementation Plan.
Yeah.
This one, all those things bear some good fruits too.
Yeah.
Most, that is why we took this country's economy, where we have a few billions in GDP, to hundreds, like something like over 200 billion dollars of GDP or so.
Yeah.
So it has worked for us. We are not saying nothing was done.
Yeah, out of those definitely
years, out of those plans, some very good things came. But what Mike and me are saying is that, look, our unemployment is stubbornly high. Poverty is stubbornly high. That is why we had, even the day before yesterday, it was reported that two kids or so died of eating very, very bad food.
Yeah.
And we remember the 16 members of the same family, etc., etc. The kids in Hobabis and other parts of this country, which means that we are still reeling from the effects of colonial apartheid, or apartheid colonialism, where our people, black people, are still living in deep poverty. Unemployment around 40, I should say. Youth unemployment above 50%. So what you are saying is that we are still a long way to go for us to do so. And that is why we are saying, why don't we see what holds us back? We know the other external sectors. What are the internal sectors that are holding us back?
Yeah.
Are those skills? Let's try to acquire them.
Yeah.
Is it accountability? Let there be accountability. Is it a culture of no consequence? Let there be consequences for non-performance.
Mm.
That is what we should do, the low-hanging fruits in small value addition to, like, agriculture. Our president, that is our current president, Madam Netumbo, she is talking really every day about agriculture and value add or value addition in the agricultural sector.
Yeah.
Will it be done? That is what we want to see.
Yeah.
And that is why I'm saying from day one, when the founding father spoke about planting bananas in the Namib Desert, and we were all laughing at him.
Yeah.
Up to now, we are talking agriculture up to Madam Netumbo.
Mm.
Let's put these things in gear. Let the wheels roll, and let's see what will come out of that.
Yeah. So when we talk now national priorities, do you think institutional memory, if I can bring it here, institutional memory play an important role in maintaining now that policy consistency? I'm thinking of when you look at the at current cabinet, you know, 95% are new cabinet members. So what I'm saying is that these are really there are a lot of people now we are applauding the president in terms of, look, it's completely restructured cabinet. There are now old guards that, you know, used to be there over year after year after year. But there's also, the other argument could be also that when you have institutional memory, people who have been there, it create that consistency. So what do you think about that?
Yes, Mike. Look, I'm not an expert in that area.
Yeah.
But what I will say is this. That is why we put everything down in writing in the plans.
Mm.
And all the ministers, except one or two, they are very young people whom we sent to school, technocrats, some of them who had been there, like our Prime Minister and ED in, I think, at agriculture, etc.
Yeah.
Now, these are technocrats, people who can read. And as I have said, now with our simplified and implementable plans, they can just go back there and read those things. Now, there is one thing, Mike.
Mm.
As you are growing old, your mind becomes resistant to change.
Yeah.
And this new, young, vibrant leadership, their minds are malleable. They are not afraid of technology. They are not afraid of anything. So they can take even risk, if I may say so, where your old guard who have become door stoppers and development stoppers are just dangerous. So institutional memory, we have penned it on paper.
Mm.
So I don't buy that argument of keeping people just for the sake of institutional memory as if we are not writing.
Yeah. So when should now a policy adjustment, actually not policy adjustment, let me say priority adjustment should be seen as a necessary or beneficial, and when do they become, and when do they become actually a hindrance to progress? So now when we see now a shift in priorities, as we said, the project, probably the goal is the same, but there's somehow there's a shift in terms of priority when a new administration comes on. So when do we see them as necessary and beneficial? And when do then we see that, when do they become a hindrance to progress?
Yes, Mike, I think in our case, that is the Namibian case, we haven't really shifted priorities much, as I have said.
Yeah.
we have that vision, we have the plans, all of them up to the implementation plan, and it is just one thing, and that is social progression or the advancement of the Namibian nation.
Yeah.
So, but what you are saying is that those small tweaks, let's try this, I think, because our monitoring and evaluation, which is not very strong, but I have seen that with the NDPs as well as the Harambee Prosperity Plans.
Yeah.
What we see as a shift of priorities is more of trying to fine-tune what we have in the previous plan or what didn't work very well. So I think in that sense, we won't say government is shifting priorities and they are all over the place and the like.
Yeah.
Where you Doctor, see that... yes, please.
Let's go quickly for a break, a commercial break, and then we'll continue on that. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Mm. Need lightning fast internet? Rogers has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Rogers' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Rogers today. Visit us online at rogers.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
Yes, welcome back, and you are joining us on Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So, yes, Doctor, so we're looking at this tweet being made. When do we see as necessary and beneficial, and when do they become a hindrance to progress? Yeah.
Yes, Mike, you are right. If we abandon our main priority and priority areas, then that will be detrimental, because your implementers will always be surprised and they won't learn and they won't find soon their implementation strategies, etc. Trying to get and tie money to the projects. Let's say you miscalculated or underestimated the budget for a particular project.
Yeah.
In the next round, then you'll say, oh, we under budgeted. Mm. And then you try to get enough money. And what I have seen also, Mike, what we see is that we are having a very small national budget.
Yeah.
And we are, when I'm saying we, I mean government.
The government, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, the government. Spread itself very thin over many, many projects. So that is why I said what we have seen is the narrowing down of where we can put that little money so it can make a difference.
Mm.
So we have many projects, and if you look at the MTA, for instance, and you look at something like the railway line, for instance, refurbishment of the railway line.
Yeah.
And you throw, let's say this year to Transnamib to do that, just a 10 million, they've got a little bit more or so, or maybe it is just to run for operational cost, I don't know, it's more for operational cost spirit. Then you spread that over 3 years. By the time you have to complete that, the railway line is kaput. You have to start again. So to me is that there is no serious shift of priorities.
Mm.
So in our case, it's more putting emphasis and trying to focus and refocus on implementation. Mm. Now let me say this. What I have seen over our 35 years of independence, we have never seen a minister or an ED been fired for incompetence, and non-implementation of projects, of running down of projects like the Green Scheme.
Yeah.
What we have seen is the recycling of the old guard that we were, that you were talking about, from one portfolio to the next, instead of being fired. What we want to see now under our new administration under President Nandi Daitwa, it is to see people held accountable.
Yeah.
And if they don't change, then, if there's no reasonable reason, if I may say, why the project has not been implemented, where money has been returned to fiscals, that minister should be fired.
Mm.
And then the ED should follow him or her.
Yeah. So the other area is also, as you now, as you said, well, we haven't really moved away from national priority when a new administration is coming on power, but they are tweet and shifting focus somehow to accelerate either, an urgent, need or pressing issue. So now, how does that actually influence domestic and foreign investment? So let's say, for example, during the late Hage Geingob, domestic investment and foreign investment, they focus on this area, and then now there is uncertainty now of whether that area is a priority or not. So it's just to kind of like, how does this kind of change of administration and maybe focus, how does that influence domestic and foreign investment?
This is one of the most stable countries economically and politically in the whole world.
Yeah.
And if you compare us to other nations, let me, in Africa, for instance, where you have serious civil strifes that are basically also promoted by our Western investors, you'll see that investors go where they smell profits.
Mm.
It doesn't matter whether there is even a single page of a written policy or not.
Yeah.
We have put those things, there's so much policy certainty and consistency here. But what happens, as I have said, is that those, if we talk about or speak about green hydrogen, is an opportunity, an economic opportunity. And even those investors, when they see that, no, there's no more money here to be made, it is no more lucrative as we have thought, things shifted very fast. The global political and economic landscape is shifting very fast. They can withdraw and go.
Yeah.
What we are now trying to do is to come up with the special economic zones, for instance, where they will have certain incentives and more policy certainty. So I think you are very right. If it is just policy shifts that will introduce policy uncertainty, then definitely local and international investors will grow cold feet. They won't know whether they should invest or not.
Mm.
But as it is now, it is only that they are not big bankable projects or investments that they come into. That is why we have seen them coming in big time when green hydrogen was something to write home about. That is why we have seen many big giants, oil giants, coming into the Orange Basin when they thought it was easy to get that oil out. So, no, we are fine. I don't think our policy had in any way scared local as well as international investors.
Mm.
And Mike, one thing that we should try and do as government is let's try to promote national champions.
Yeah.
Forgive me, I'm not promoting Dina Palmer, for instance. What we are saying is that we are importing uniforms from somewhere, school uniforms or other uniforms from somewhere.
Yeah.
If we take Dina Palmer and make it a national champion, make support it to have economies of scale where the prices of the products they produce goes down and be competitive, then that will help in creating jobs. Those ones who are supplying their services, be it servicing the machines or so to Dina Palmer, etc., you'll have a giant here that will have lower cost, and where you are also going to leverage the African continental free trade area and start to export.
Yeah.
And that is how you are going to create jobs. But if you are spreading yourself in small project, few sewing machines to few ladies or one lady there,
yeah.
you call it the equipment scheme from the trade and industry, etc. Let's not spread ourselves in. Let's try to see how we can grow the green schemes, how we can grow manufacturing like the Dina Palmer's, how we can try and have other manufacturing value addition activities going on,
yeah.
and then we can grow that. That is why I'm saying in all this, if you look at the SWAPO implementation plan, for instance, that is what it's trying to achieve,
yeah.
to look at what can we achieve with the little money we have.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking at now the Vision 2030, which is actually fall within the 5 years of this administration. So when you're looking at the Vision 2030 and the national developing plans, so what lessons have we really learned about what works and what didn't work? Or what it doesn't work?
Yes. What we have learned is that we are vulnerable to global economic and political landscape.
Shocks.
If I may call. Shocks. Yes. But we have also learned that if you don't have a good monitoring and evaluation unit, which should be in the National Planning Commission and look at all those projects that are spread all over the OMAS,
yeah.
that is the offices, ministries, and agencies, yeah, that won't work very well because you won't know what has been achieved in terms of targets.
Yeah.
And that is one thing that we should strengthen is the monitoring and evaluation. Secondly, we have also seen that if there's no accountability and culture of consequences, or a culture of now what we have is of no consequence that we currently have, no one is going to take the president, even the president, or the people seriously. So those are two things. The monitoring and evaluation should be strengthened, and accountability and consequences for non-implementation should. And we should have these things midterm. And another problem also that we have seen, the MTEF is good because it's a rolling budget. At least you know what will, how much money you try to focus, how much money you are going to collect, etc., etc. But the problem becomes that our national budget, as you have seen, at committee stage of the national budget now, the discussions, they go up to 12 o'clock at night just to try and see whether they can get this budget passed before it is very late. We are already in June. And we have to go up to the 31st of March or so.
Exactly.
the end of the financial year, and we haven't started rolling the money out to go to the different projects, for instance. That should also change so that we can start our year at least in February.
Yeah.
So that money won't be returned to fiscals, and then you say money has been returned to fiscals. And lastly, Mike, one of the things that we should do is to look at our local capacity when it comes to implementation. Do we have that capacity in the national development, the NPC, the National Planning Commission?
Yeah.
Do we have that in the line ministries? Can we second people from the National Planning Commission to go to ministries and assist in project implementation, for instance, planning and implementation?
Yeah.
If we don't have that in the National Planning Commission, can we try and have strong units in the line ministries to implement? Because my suspicion is that we are lacking there when it comes to capacity,
yeah,
that is in terms of skills. Also, that is a very serious consideration.
Yeah. Well, that does lead me to think that and this is directly to you, for your opinion, optimistic are you about Namibia's ability to achieve its long-term economic goals, despite maybe current challenges?
Yes. What I have seen over the 35 years, this is one country, and I have to commend and applaud the Namibian people, who had really, despite small squabbles here and there, had maintained unity and unity of purpose and unity and political unity, even though we have so many parties that have led to peace and stability.
Yeah.
And when we look at the proclamations by our different presidents and what they really want to do, is to advance this nation.
Yeah.
There are roadblocks here and there in terms of all the things that I have mentioned that holds Namibia back. But I am very, very optimistic.
Yeah.
If we go the way we are going, and with we are seeing with President Nandi Daitwa, I think she has struck a very positive and serious note. And what I will say, well, the taste is in the pudding, but what we have seen, despite the problem with housing, unemployment, as we have said, poverty, inequality, etc., some strides have been made, and I think we are still going to make bigger strides if our president, the leader of this country, is, or the one at the helm, really don't get swayed by distractors and those ones who derail the economy deliberately for them to make a quick buck.
Yeah.
Because when some people, or when people are used to unscrupulous eating, they won't want where they are now seeing progress, and they would love to sabotage the new administration just for them to go back to the ports of Egypt where they were eating. So give you a straight question to answer to your question is, I'm very optimistic, and things can happen. Let's not rely too much on external factors and shock, and say there was a shock there, and there definitely that impacts us big time.
Yeah.
But let's see what we can do with the little that we have, so that we can, once, let's not spread ourselves very thin. Let's embark on few projects, but that will make an
difference
in the lives of our people.
Yeah. So, and lastly, what message then would you like to share with Namibians, and now with our listeners, who are frustrated by the slow pace of economic progress?
Let them make noise. Let them make noise and big noise.
Yeah.
Namibians are docile like sheep. They are meek.
Yeah.
They, even if you step them on the toes,
yeah,
they are just quiet.
Mm.
When they say that, look, there is this project that could have created employment,
yeah,
or there is this useless project that they want to bring along. Let's take, for instance, procurement of pharmaceuticals, for instance.
Yeah.
That could easily be done through government and where we can have drugs, medicines, mm-hmm, all over the place.
Yeah.
No shortage of drugs, etc. That is medicines in our hospitals. We could have all kinds of services being provided in that health sector.
Yeah.
But because of your outsourcing, you have created shortages, artificial shortages, but Namibians are quiet. You go there, instead of getting a Tramadol, you get a Panadol.
Yeah.
And you are having cancer, for instance, where you need serious pain stillers, if I may say so.
Yeah.
And they are just quiet. You want to build a new parliament because your MPs, take no offense, had grown a little bit bigger, and you want to build, to have bigger shares, and the Namibians will just be quiet. Let's know that those are money to build this nation and should not be wasted.
Yeah.
And that is my last word to the Namibians. Take keen interest in our development.
Mm.
The president is your servant. You are not the servants of the president. If you see that this president is going, is not doing what you have elected her,
yeah,
to do for you, make a lot of noise,
yeah,
so that she can go even before the time lapse.
Mm.
So Namibians, wake up. Let's assist also on our side. Let's try to work hard where we can. Farmers, I know sometimes life is tough there. Entrepreneurs, life can be tough, but let's not lose hope. Let's all put our shoulder to the wheel and try to develop this nation. Not only to make noise, but also to contribute positively to our national development.
Yeah, I didn't want to let you, but just when you say make noise, it just come to my mind again.
Yes.
Just a quick one. This is the very last one. So how do you see the role of the media in holding now leaders accountable for policy implementations?
I'm very, very glad to see that from the political side, except one ban on one local newspaper sometimes back where the government of the president decided that we are not going to buy that particular newspaper for our offices, etc., spend money or advertise there, etc.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I should say our, what is it? Media is, there is media freedom in Namibia. I have seen most of the things that I am now blasting out here.
Yeah.
They come from the Villager. It comes from all your other media houses.
Mm.
And I think for us to make strides, the leadership should realize that even themselves, they won't know nothing if they don't have a free press.
Yeah.
Yeah? I'm not saying the press or media won't air here and there. But sometimes that is because our political leadership or our bureaucracy or bureaucrats are hiding information from them.
Yeah.
And for them to really poke them a little bit is where you see some of those small errors here and there. But the media in Namibia has been great. The leadership, the political leadership has been great in terms of allowing political freedom in Namibia. And that fourth estate is, and it is going to also emancipate our people from colonial, what is it?
Yeah.
Hardships and bondage.
Yeah. Mm.
And, honestly, media is, I should perhaps put media at number one.
Mm.
Because without media, we should have had nothing. And the political and economic elite would have done whatever they want without fear of anything. So, Mike, the media, you guys are doing a great job, and you should read it.
Yeah.
Now with AI, etc., you should not just go and generate AI articles, generated articles.
Yeah.
Dig deeper, investigative journalism. Mm. It will really help this Namibia to go forward.
Dr. Omu Kakuya Hamatundu, thank you so much for joining us on Unpacking the Day and sharing your valuable insight. Your perspective on this topic have been really thought-provoking and enlightening as well. So we appreciate the depth of knowledge and clarity you have brought to this crucial conversation. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, Mike, for having me, and thank you to your listeners. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. All right, that was Dr. Omu Kakuyaha Matundu talking to us on policy consistency and change in leadership. How does that affect our development and capital project in the country? So when we come back, I will open up my line and you may come through and have your reaction on our discussion. Stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongo tisamweni. Anage shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa onjika. Seita nina omayaguro nirandipomwa iwe yonge shifa yoyo kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende timemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimupo yomo programa letu. Moambo dengira selma.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludwigs at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.
Yes, of course, wherever you are, Eagle FM is with you, and that's right, accessible anytime, anywhere. All you need is your mobile phone. That's all what you need. And you are instantly connected to the news, to the shows, to your favorite shows, and also to so much, so much more features on our mobile application. So, all what you need to do, if you haven't done that yet, what you need to do is just download the Eagle FM mobile app, and you can download that from the Google Play or the App Stores, and then you are definitely good to go. So the other thing also, we also have an e-newspaper that published every Monday, Wednesday and Fridays. So, and if you want to stay really in the know with business, economic news and latest policy development, you know, you can grab your digital copy of The Villager every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. And all what you need to do is just send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 2081 200 41 44. 2081 200 41 44. Sometimes you're saying something and you can't even hear yourself. 081 200 41 44. So, and well, if you're a businessman, so we make it also easier for you to grow your business. So, especially with our complimentary apps like the Imba and also the Eagle FM app. So these are perfect to boost actually your product and service to, you know, to wider range of customers and consumers. So, and please don't forget our social media platforms, and these are very, are the most active. They are the most active in the country, and giving you the perfect space to advertise or to elevate your brand, your product, your services, and make it that visible, you know, to many, 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 many people. So contact us on that. Contact us on 0832888 2888 400. 0832888 400. So, yeah. And if you're just joining us, our time is about 45 minutes, quarter to nine. And you're most welcome now to come through. My line now is open. You're most welcome to come through and react to our discussion with Dr. Omu Kakuyaha Matuntu. So, and basically, you know, what we wanted to dig down oh, it's really looking at, you know that when every time new administration comes to power, you know, there's always shift. Not, he says, not a shift in, I probably agree with that, it's not really shift in priorities, a shift in development of plan for the country, but some each president that comes in, each administration that comes in, comes in with their own focus. And I was trying to give an example to say, the really main one area that President Hage Geingob was focusing on, and that bring that momentum to where we are in terms of green hydrogen. That was the area that he was focusing on. So, and now you tend, the current administration, you can see that there's a little bit of focus on, and even when the green hydrogen even become like it was a sector that also went to the president's office, you know? And then now we can see that oil and gas, it's the focus of this new administration. So now the question is actually is to say, would that not, the when now, when new administration come to power, there is a change in policies, there's a change in priorities, there's a change in approaches. So what happened? So then what happened? Would that not that undermine the very progress we seek to achieve? We want to progress. So when a person comes in, maybe abandon not paying attention to anymore to those, to the earlier priorities that we, that we could have actually spent money, capital into those projects, which we now start to focus to something different. And this is, I'm just looking at the larger projects and government development plan and goal. What about in a smaller, you know, activities, mundane activity that need to be done on a day-to-day basis? And even the civil servant, you know, themselves, you know, when now, you were with this president, the focus has been actually on Harambe and all that. And sometimes for us, maybe we don't even go into details and see, is there any difference in terms of Harambe and SWAPO, manifesto, implementation plan? If there is a difference, what is the difference? What is the focus on this? So this is what we're trying to see, because that could also become the policy inconsistent, policy shift, not policy inconfused, the policy shift, the priority shift could also become a hindrance of us being able to achieve, you know, the progress that we want. So, because each one, when you comes, you have your own, you know, things that you want to achieve, you want to leave a legacy, maybe. So that could be also really become an ingredient in our national recipe for success. So yeah, if you are listening, do come through and have your comment, your reaction on the discussion that we have. Really interesting discussion, I have to say so. So very informative. So our telephone number, 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So do come through. The line is open and have your opinion. So yeah. So yesterday I was also looking at the, which I barely touch actually. So was also looking at, so please do come through on that. So I cannot just sit and wait for you. So I need to move forward. Yesterday we were looking at a report by the, Institute for Institute for Public Policy Research, so the IPPR. So that was a Namibia quarterly economic review. So I was actually doing now a review on the review. So we couldn't even gone far. There were a couple of people who come through and have their reaction to that. I would probably continue with some of those while you're coming through. You're most welcome. Come through, your reaction to our discussion, or even to maybe what, because it relate the issues that probably highlighting there relate to some of the things that, Dr. Matuntu has actually also mentioned. That's where we are. I'm gonna go through that again. I'm gonna go through some of the aspect that we were looking at yesterday. But do please actually come, because we didn't finish that. There are really things that we need to, because this is a review of the quarter, of the first quarter of this year, under the new administration, and now looking at, and the emphasis of that review is looking at the, on the social priorities, that being, the emphasis of the SWAPO manifesto, implementation plan, and also the economic enabler. And now that's what's also looking at here. We're looking at the policies. We're looking at, you know, shift of policies. How does that actually affect the country's priority, when it comes to, a new president? And the economic growth of the country. So, you're welcome. Please do come through. Our time again, our time is about 53 minutes past 8. And the unpacking today goes up to 9:30. You still have plenty of time. You still have enough time actually to come through and have your say and reaction on that. So when we come back, we're going to look at, if you don't come through, we look at, some of the aspect from the quarterly, economic review, from the IPPR.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Pack your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsine Hangano, Rio Sherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing for Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-2358-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get...
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Dr. Mike.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself, man?
I'm okay too, my brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was listening with your interview to the doctor.
Dr. Matuntu, yeah.
Yes. You say a lot of things which are making sense, and I think we even touched it before.
Yeah.
When you are saying if you are having a cockroach which used to be, and they are listed even to dwarf, huh? And the pesticide,
yeah.
It was hard but to get rid of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that point where he said, look, the, you may have changed the cabinet, but you know, still actually shifting around the
exactly.
EDs, the EDs. These are the people that we need to see being fired if they are not performing, you know?
Exactly. They need to go.
Yeah.
It's even a hard time because you can't just have the ID for 35 years.
For life.
No.
For
life. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of these people need to be let go. Especially I'm talking about in the way they are even shifting it and what removing from this minute to the other one. These people I get used to, and they know exactly in the what they how they to do to not to be detected when it comes to corruption.
Mm.
Yeah, because they become used to whatever they used to do.
Yeah, they become part of the system, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now the what I'm looking at is that. It will be not easy. I think, and okay, even the minister, yeah, it will be hard for them even to perform because you are having this person who's just used to the system, and mostly is the person who is in charge.
Mm.
Yeah. So you might try again there, but it will be hard for you to do proper job. Look. Guys, when you are talking about even like a country which we see, like USA, you can see their government are changing a lot when it comes to the ruling parties, I mean the parties which are there.
Yeah.
Because you might find it maybe swap this year and then the next year will come PDM or APC. Because they only having two parties there.
Yeah.
But they have outlined national objects. Which need to be achieved.
Mm.
Let me say now we have a big lock of housing. So they make sure that every person who's coming in,
yeah,
you have to follow that, to finish that unfinished business.
Mm.
But you know, a country is like every person there, whoever come in is coming with his own agenda.
Yeah.
And really, in the area which we supposed to focus on for priority, we may end up not addressing that problem.
Yeah. Not completely. I think not completely come with their own agenda completely, because they are still guided by, let's say, for example, by Vision 2030, by NDPs and all that. And as he said, the president comes up with strategies. These are more like strategies how to implement these plans. You understand?
Yeah. Now,
the issue is then each president may actually have a different focus. You know, what are areas that they want them to be immediately implemented. Yeah. So, like, say for example, I'm not saying that's the case. Let's say, for example, now we abandoning a green hydrogen and then now focus on oil and gas. You understand?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So then you have to think, okay, all the resources that went into that to be where we are, and it's not the focus anymore. So then what happened? You know,
well, it's wasted.
Yeah, it's wasted. It's just an example. So those are just some. Then, and this is it. And sometimes start to think, maybe the reasons why we're not making a really giant progress is because of this. We're also jumping from one thing to another. Yeah, but also our development, and he also acknowledged it, is also being dictated by the external actors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, Mike, for me, it can be a case, but sometimes I think it's what we want to also maybe to fail, to make the previous person to be failed.
Yeah.
Look, we have a mess housing. You know what happened to the mess housing?
Yeah.
It's just the example which you are giving me, and you look what happened to the mess housing.
Yeah.
And the later president, he come in, he's just talking about what? Harambe, and then he leave the mess housing out.
Mm.
But mess housing was addressing the issue of housing in Namibia.
Yeah.
Which everybody know that is a problem when it comes to housing in Namibia. And now, you have a new president who's also focusing on what? It doesn't talk about Harambe, but it's focusing on what? Addressing the issue of housing, 10,000 per year. You see now. It's what I'm saying. We support to have a national priority where we target the most critical component. When you are talking about even like rent delivery to the people, then we focusing on that. Then we set as a first priority standard. Then whatever, it doesn't matter with the president, with parties taking over. You have to follow that.
Yeah, I think you also mentioned something important. I just related to what you're saying. I also mentioned that, you know, yes, because I also kind of was pushing him in that direction where you said, yeah, but you also have to look at, you know, there are pressing issues in certain period of time. So let's say, for example, now unemployment, unemployment is the pressing issue for young people. Mm-hmm. So definitely, you know, even if, mass housing, housing is also a problem. So this is more pressing than the other. So then this president might actually take up that kind of that issue compared to the others. Yeah.
Now, like when you're talking about green hydrogen and what, now we're shifting to oil and gas.
Yeah.
I think that somehow my call didn't answer, because I've been talking about like, guys, why we are moving to green hydrogen? Will we know that in the come 50 years, oil and it will be no more going to be used?
Someone actually told me, this is a expert on the side. Someone we're just having a conversation, but he's also an expert in those in the oil and in that area. And he told me, Mike, I'm saying this, but you know, he said you will never see a drop of oil in this country. said, I'm serious, and I'm telling you seriously, you will never see a drop of oil in this country, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so, and these guys, you know, they will come up and you will see that, you know, this is not viable, commercial viable, yeah. And, you know, it's difficult. It will be more expensive to extract this because of this and that, you know. So I told me, no, I don't know. He didn't even say it in a joke way. He said, no. You will never see a drop of oil in this country.
Wait, it can be true because...
Hopefully it's not true.
Yeah, I don't know if it can be true because the way things are going on, you can see... what was the one who was in that side of what? Babwata.
Yeah.
Cell. You know that they withdraw.
Yeah.
Without even letting us what is going on after they destroy even their inhabitants. When it comes to wildlife, that's right.
Yeah.
And now, it never know. Things are just come up and go.
I mean, this is not an ordinary person like you and me, talking from emotion or something. This is someone who really, really is an expert in that sector.
It's true, because look, what did they do, especially when it comes to international, what you are calling as a partnership. These guys sometimes, I don't know how they come up with these things. The oil might have it in Namibia, but I'm telling you, without us funding ourselves, we might not see this oil. I'm telling you, until maybe in the next generation.
Yeah.
Because the thing with, I see in the national what they do, they always want you to live, unless we are getting the what we are getting now, like it's a 3% of what you are in our oil, and so on.
Mm.
That one, maybe, and they will come, and then what they do, they extracting out without you, then they go and find them somewhere else.
Of course,
and they pile up. They pile up. That's like the way Chinese are doing for aluminium.
Yeah. They said,
you think Chinese, they need so much aluminium. They are going to fill up when the world is going to need that aluminium, nuclear. Then they will be able to put up the price. We might even find Namibia going to buy from China. In the,
of course. Some of the African countries have a large deposit of oil, you know.
Yeah.
And those countries now that are in this sector, how many of them that are really, you know, rich or doing the standard of living of their people is better as a result of these resources? No.
In fact,
there are more wars, there are more corruption in those countries,
That's what I'm saying, really. And I don't know, because the moment I see these guys, they are already coming up with even talking about OPEC. And you can see, good example, Angola, they just withdraw from OPEC. They are not yet even extracting the oil out, but already talking about OPEC and so on. And you are talking about even the Ghanaian to the expert on you, but guys, we are having a good relationship with you when it comes to Okata, but I don't know why we are not using them. And now, serious, something really fishing.
Yeah.
When it comes to this green hydrogen in the oil, really something not really...
Yeah, no, the sad part is this, you know, much of our... We depend on what the investors and external actors are telling us.
Exactly.
You know, and that... It doesn't put us in a confident position where now we can make decisions and create policies that really define where we want to go. We just depend on what investors
are going to tell us.
Exactly.
And this is the same way when it comes to Nanda building. Just imagine you are going 50-50 with what the investors. Yeah. And the investor is the one who is controlling everything from the CEO to security.
Yeah, it's the money.
Come on,
They put in their investment. It's
what's wrong with us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we're telling us, come on, our diamond, it's up to them to decide even like, is the diamond are doing good or what, because you are not present at all.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even know. They can evade, they can avoid taxes, yeah, and tax invasions based on what they're telling you that, okay, now the trading is not actually, it's not good internationally, but you don't know. You have no idea. And
America, when you're telling people who are learning the government, I won't learn the government like that.
Yeah.
Our government is very dumb, my friend. All earlier, I'm telling you. You remember the other time when you guys were having an interview with the former minister of mine,
yeah,
Tommy Arendo. He said, no, we take these people who went to go to investigate, like, how is the mine doing, the safety, the what. They go, maybe pay after 3 months. Just imagine.
Yeah.
They don't have actually a person presenting government overseas what is going on, how many they discover a month, like how many diamonds they get, how many gold they've been digging out, or anything. Just imagine. And you are talking about Ohio and Imbrim in Namibia, but we are still not even having our people overseeing for government. And this is even, we can extend it to even what in the sea.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, when these people come here and negotiate, these are not people even in their own company. They hire top expert negotiators and experts, you know. So, and
then you take somebody from like me, Mandume Day, you negotiate on behalf of the government.
No, you're not even taking Mandume. You're just taking the ED. The ED is the person. It doesn't matter whether whether he understands.
I was studying in agriculture, pesticide.
Yeah.
How to control it. And then now you're putting it to be in charge, you know, on mine.
Yeah.
Come on. How does it work?
Yeah.
Or to negotiate about oil, which is something completely I don't, I studied diploma to be a teacher. Then you put me, come on. What is this now?
Yeah. So you just said yes. Yes. That's a good
question. Yeah, no, it's fine.
Yes.
Yeah. But my brother, don't worry. We land the Gusa for you after you've done it. Number 3 that day. Double K. Oh, 3%. That is okay. It's okay. I think our government will agree on that. Oh, then this is what is happening. That's why we end up getting 3%, 10%. And yet, some people are presenting, you know, natural resources up to now. Just imagine. Yeah. Then we are still having a government is getting 10%, 5%. And South Africa is having 10%, you know, around you. Come on, man. Something is wrong with us. At the end of the day, we are complaining high unemployment, but we are still sipping our unemployment out when we are giving you this law form. Even timbers is the same thing which we are doing in Kavango. But we are having Kavango work good in craft work.
The other day we were talking about, I have an interview with Emily Abram from agronomics. So
yeah,
we're shipping, we are importing bananas worth of 500 million a year or something like that. And that's there's a money going out. That's a money going out that should be actually be circulating the country on our own people. You know, it's employment going out, you know.
But so, my brother, I'm even wondering, we have a Notre Dame. And okay, where? After those who complete from Notre Dame, where do we take them?
Yeah.
We just go into the external office around the region. Why we don't create, like now we have a green scheme which are dying out. Why we don't put those people in use?
Yeah. So let's see if someone else comes through. Yeah,
thank you, man.
All right. No, thank you for coming through. Yeah.
All right.
Very good morning to you. And our time is about 12 minutes past the hour of 9. And this is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM, if you're just joining us. And my name is Michael Chiavelli. So, all right. You're most welcome to come through and react to any, especially to the interview that I have with Dr. Omu Kakuyaha Matundu. It was really informative, I must say, and very interesting. If you're listening, do come through, have your reaction, have your comments. Yeah. And, I'm also looking at, the quarterly report, quarterly economic, review by the IPPR, the Institute of Public, Policy Research, that focusing on the quarter, on this quarter, the first quarter of the year, 2025. So there are a few, it focuses on, especially focuses on the SWAPO manifesto implementation as a implementing strategy for the government. All right. And also then looking at the targets and other, issues that, the government prioritize and scrutinize and analyze some of those. Yeah. So yesterday we looked at some of the social priorities the government is focusing on. We looked at there was agriculture. We talked about agriculture. Talked about that already. We talked about sport, and also we talked about the youth empowerment, and. Yeah, let's hear from this caller. Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mike.
How are you, man?
I'm good, good.
Mm.
I hear from the Kamatundu.
Yeah,
but I wanted to touch a bit for agronomic issue. Were you mentioning it because I didn't get time for that day? Yeah, no, I was just wanting to. I met with those members who are supplying those small business, scanners, or how do you call it? They said in Namibia there is running out of green paper, potatoes, onions, and. What, so they were using to getting some in Zambia, green papers.
Mm.
Now they are forced to go to South Africa again.
Yeah.
So I was so surprised to hear about that, because the agronomic is the one that is promising people that if we have some local producers that have those type of vision, they have been to share the contact with those people.
Yeah.
But if you look at now, if you go to their standards, yes, you are.
Lost you. You may come back. All right. So, yeah. The review, I was talking about the review. Our time is 16 minutes past 9. And we go up to half past nine. All right. Yesterday, as I said, we looked at the review, economic review by the IPPR, published by IPPR. It's a very, very good document to read. You know, go to the IPPR probably website and then look for that, Namibia quarterly, economic review. Download that. You can be able to download it. And be able to go through it. It's a very quite a good review of the quarter, and also looking at, looking in depth on some of the priorities and bringing out, magnifying if certain issues that maybe the government and you as a citizen should be able to pay attention to. Yeah, no, in terms of the social priorities was also, as I said, I talk about education. The other one that I couldn't talk about yesterday was creative industry, which I think this ministry have make it, a priority, which is actually a good thing. Now, the SWAPO manifesto, implementation plan also highlights the highlight the art and arts and creative industry as a solution to unemployment. So as a solution to unemployment. So a proposal include now funding mentorship programs on that, mentorship programs and annual award. There will be now annual award with estimated cost of 260 million annually. So this is really, I think it's a really refreshing focus. This is a really refreshing focus, but it also raises questions. So, and that's why I said it's always good to go to this kind of review, because it gives you some other perspective that you may not have actually looked at, okay, or consider. Now, the question here is, why are so many Namibian artists struggling to make a living despite their talent? So now the question is very relevant. There is this money that you would like to, you know, to pump into this sector. And now the question is, are these challenges rooted in the market dynamic? Is it because, so they are struggling to make a living despite of the talents they have? Is it because of the market, or is it because the sector is simply underdeveloped? So where you think now, well, the sector is underdeveloped, so therefore we need to actually pump into money. We need to pump money into it. But it's because of the market. So then the issue is not actually pumping in money, is actually the demand. You know? So, and could, now, this is the question also now, could reliance on public subsidies, would that also then suppresses, if you like, lack of a better word, suppresses the innovation in the long run? Because now, okay, we're actually getting now something just, so in the long run, is it also sustainable? Is it this just, you know, money that now you made available, but then would in the long run this sector sustain itself based on market demand or based on developing now, you know, because is it underdeveloped or is it because of the market? Okay. If you have so many struggling artists that have, despite their talents. So those are some of issues that the other social priority is the health. The whole question of expanding primary healthcare access, is actually a very central goal for the SWAPO manifesto implementation plan. And remember, we were talking about this with Dr. Matundu as well, in terms of those shifty of priorities in different administration. The reason why we focus on that is because that's the focus of this administration as an implementing strategy for this administration. Igrafem, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bom dia, família.
Bom dia, como está?
Não há problema, estamos bem aqui.
Ah!
Primo de Gua.
Primo de Gua. There is this concern already, like now that when the new appointment of the minister, you know, yeah, the agriculture minister. Now there are people who are thinking, ay, alumena tukala mongo nai.
Yo tayo tayo lele ke man. Ndandi landi se pono kulisha shika ishino kulonda. Vajong kuluka diyo kwa ti. Chiri kongumbi osoko chiri kevali. Tazo diri monai. Ano. Otori monai.
So she's actually experiencing the same thing actually.
Yeah. Because this man just he's focusing his bull. He want to sell because the bull is he's supposed to create more calves. And maybe it's delaying.
Yeah.
So this bull was making noise there. This man said, man is making noise. I want to sell that bull.
Yeah.
And the wife said, we have the same problem.
Yes.
The problem here.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, no. What do you have us for today?
Mm. I wanted to also to just add a bit on the artist.
Yeah.
I think should be create a system. The banks also could create a system which will support, like, you, let me say, by 6 months.
Mm.
6 months, the banks put money together, and the new artists which are coming up,
yeah,
they depend for that money. Because now what is happening now, even in NAMA award and whatever award, we only seeing the same faces every year in, year out.
Yeah.
And even by this, Swapo and rallies and others and any rallies in Namibia.
Yeah.
We only see those famous artists. And who will come and support this new coming artist, you know?
But this if this is your business, it has to be a good product for me to want it. Should I just,
yes,
this is now the question actually the review is looking at, to say, should we just pump into money, giving people money just because they happen to do something, or it's deserving to what they do?
Yes, but if, I think if you get a system we know, like, from here to 6 months, there's this money, which any artist is already doing, must do his best to showcase his talent and take over this show now. Those who are, let me say, you do for a year. When you come to on the award of end of the year, you bring up these winners from this year,
yeah,
to the big product for that number. And we have the system also supporting the new coming artist.
Yeah.
Because if we just focus in Gaza, focus in the dog, my brother, it's too long now.
Yeah, no, I think the point you're making is that, I mean, if you have no system that help to develop, yeah, the coming up one, you will still just spending money on the successful one, and then you are not, yeah, allowing to develop the talent of the upcoming one. I think you're right in that way to say we need to have a system that help to develop the talent of the upcoming, you know, artist. Yeah. Otherwise you would just, yeah, all the time you would just spend your money on the successful one. Yeah.
Yeah, because if you say we don't have money, no, we do have money. We just need a right system to support the youth to showcase their talent. So because now the banks who they are supporting, not in agriculture, not in sport, not even in music, what they are doing?
Yeah.
So they are supporting only their system, like monetary fund of these old banks.
Yeah.
No, they
when
know
when we say we have money, I think we do have money because of the resources that we have. Yeah, it's like I'm sitting at home with five cars sitting in the garage, but I'm actually dying from hunger. I'm at home and I have nothing to eat. You understand? I don't have cash. I don't have cash to go and buy food. You know, and I'm really, really hungry. I can't eat, and I have been 3 days I haven't eaten. But I have about three or four, five cars sitting in the garage. You know, so I have resources that can be translated into cash money. But you know, I don't have money in cash to do that. And this is sometimes the country find itself in. We have the resources. But how do we make those resources, you know, how do we make them, how do we translate them, how do we convert them to cash, that can be able to improve people's improve the living of standard of people?
Yes, you know, anything is possible. Even, if you look to Corona time,
Yeah.
If the corona comes back today again and everybody should be at home, the government will find a system for us to get paid by every month to buy food.
Yeah.
So why you don't think about now to support the new coming artists and sport and so on? You know, we have a lot of things which I need to also give or support even our economy to grow. But the thinkability is not there. We are totally, or either we get paid very fast, or we are taking too much money. You saw the money going now to get myself.
Yeah.
For Namibia.
Yeah.
You know, if you create a system which will support these people, they will do well. Now, if you think about where our government get money to pay those people who are not awakening for the time of Corona. So if Corona came back even today, my brother. Money, we have money. We just need leaders and a good system which will support everybody.
Yeah, no, that we do have money, but sometimes the money are just going to a few hands of people, you know. Money is there, definitely money is there. It's just that, you know, how do we use that money? Think about this. Let's say, for example, you have Kasinga Day, okay?
Yeah.
We have maybe government official running from different, let's say, for example, there's an event in Zambezi. And all official government many of them have to go there. Do you know how much money is actually being used just by officials, government officials to go and attend that? Do they need to, that's now the priority. Do they need to attend? And then it could be millions in a day, in 3-4 days that we spend millions and millions. But you see, that's how the money that has been wasted. That could have been really being used now to electrify a school in Okangwati, you know? Or that money to actually improve the gravel road to Ondobe. You understand? But you see where we spend the money, you know? So those, it's just how, it's our priority rather than actually the money that the government doesn't have money. Yeah.
Yeah. And just look at, for example, as you're then, think about what the MTC doing and still doing the same thing, you know? So if any company follow the full step of MTC, my brother, how many people gonna be funding from these companies? A lot of people.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like the only company which we hear in the newspaper, no, building a school there, building, helping the hospitals, helping the students. What about other company? What are doing? Especially when it comes to the banks. In a bank, my brother, if you want to withdraw like now today, 1,000, they will deduct you that time. Just that time, I think 100 something.
Mm.
So how many people are deducting per day? And so how many they are making per day? Just think about it. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they need to look back. How can you invest? If you want to have a brilliant youth, invest in them.
Yeah.
Good music, invest in them. Our music is so good, you know, you don't really when you're in Namibia. Just go out of the country. My brother, that music you feel, you miss even Pig and Pay Wally in one.
Quickly,
the issue of the choice of our president to put more females.
Yeah.
I'm not also happy with it because, you know, it's like you are demoralizing the males, and that one day gonna bring a bit of conflict.
Yeah, you don't solve a problem by creating another problem.
Yes, no, you don't do that. You need really to create a system which everybody is a win-win system.
Yeah. So, because if you have men starting to feel we are not being part of this, we are being I, then you got a problem, a big one also.
It's a big, you know, because men should be like a provider.
Yeah.
For a man. So now, if you, most of the system we have now, when a female is having more capital, they are not even want to be married anymore.
Mm.
They want to be single. Because it's independent.
Yeah.
And that you are destroying the country. If women don't want to get married, what happened?
All right.
So, yeah.
Sir, we are over the time. So
okay, okay,
no,
okay,
no. Thanks for coming through and for your contribution as well. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. All right. And that's definitely. Good morning.
Mr. Osovelli.
Yes.
I'm on air.
You are on air, but we have come to the end of the program.
just wrapping up for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm sure Helmut will not mind.
Yeah. Possibly he's listening. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Your situation on artists. Just quickly. I think when it comes to artists in Namibia.
Yeah.
Let's look at NASCAM. What is NASCAM doing as far as promoting and making sure that artists get paid on their royalty?
Yeah.
And when their music is played. So let's look at NASCAM, because there was an article that says that NASCAM made so much money, but how much is the artist making from that particular amount of money?
Mm.
Secondly, also, South Africa made it deliberate after independence that they're going to push local music on the radios, that the radios were predominantly playing local music. So if we can do that as well, that will help.
Yeah.
The musician from to start making money.
Yeah.
And lastly as well, let's look at platform where artists can make money. You have your Drizzers, Spotify, Apple Music. Our Namibian artists, I remember one who was complaining saying that, look, some of these things, I cannot create an account while I'm in Namibia. I need to use somebody else who's outside in order for me
yeah.
have an account.
Mm.
And the money that they make also sometimes from some of these platforms is very little at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So let because everything has been digitalized, let's see, people don't buy CDs anymore because even shops don't sell CD player that much.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, how can we make sure that they make money? Because we must also look at our population and versus and how will our population be able to empower these artists comparing to us, South Africa, in Nigeria, where they have a good big population which is able to boost and support these artists at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So let's look those kind of ways. And also, an artist, I think, must also not forget about the idea of making shows at the end of the day, because some of the artists, they are a good brand, but they are not available. You just can't see them. They release a video, put it on YouTube, a few likes. So how can you actually make sure that you are able to make money and be able to sustain yourself? Don't forget about shows. Don't only do shows when you're booked. Also come together, organize yourself, and have a show that then people maybe will buy tickets.
All right.
So thank you.
Okay. No, thank you for coming through.
All right.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, and that brings us to the end. That brings us to the end of Unpacking the Day. Please stay tuned. So people are just calling now, so it's too late. So yeah, stay tuned for Mind the Gap. Just coming up with Helmut. And for me, let's do this again tomorrow at the same time here on Eagle FM. Bye for now and have a pleasant day ahead.
Omudia with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo, Chicago Shafa, and Anna, Longishifa, Yai, Shuika Moshiwana, E. Moyawa, and the Shifa, Yanamibia, and the John Banana, Omjika, the Ethanina, Omaguro, Nida, and the Toma, Yue, Longishifa, Yokupitramo, Ekelefem Media House, where 20 Meneha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara ompashi pareki wimo po yo mo programa de tu moambo dengira selma kodara heta tuimu datu datu heari jamano tano o niach Eagle FM so I
listen to Eagle FM.
Oulium nangeshefa no hara kushivifa oma akuro yo kupitira mohoriki radio station yo Eagle FM enya mukuro olongaha. Ningi kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi konorahita tuimwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa konorahita tu natu, mbali o hetatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the app. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of